Holcomb is 12 miles east of the Mountain Time Zone border, a circumstance that causes some grumbling, for it means that at 7 in the morning, and in winter at 8 or after, the sky is still dark and the stars, if any, are still shining, as they were when the two sons of Vic Ursic arrived to do their Sunday morning chores. But by 9, when the boys finished work, during which they noticed nothing amiss, the sun had risen, delivering another day of pheasant season perfection. As they left the property and ran along the lane, they waved at an incoming car, and a girl waved back. She was a classmate of Nancy Clutter's, and her name was also Nancy. Nancy Ewalt. She was the only child of the man who was driving the car, Mr. Clarence Ewalt, a middle-aged sugar beet farmer. Mr. Ewalt was not himself a churchgoer, nor was his wife, but every Sunday he dropped his daughter at River Valley Farm in order that she might accompany the Clutter family to Methodist services in Garden City. The arrangement saved him making two back-and-forth trips to town. It was his custom to wait until he had seen his daughter safely admitted to the house. Nancy, a clothes-conscious girl with a film star figure, a bespectacled countenance, and a coy, tiptoe way of walking, crossed the lawn and pressed the front door bell. The house had four entrances, and when, after repeated knockings, there was no response at this one, she moved on to the next, that of Mr. Clutter's office. Here the door was partly open. She opened it somewhat more, enough to ascertain that the office was filled only with shadow, but she did not think the Clutters would appreciate her barging right in. She knocked, rang, and at last walked around to the back of the house. The garage was there, and she noted that both cars were in it, two Chevrolet sedans, which meant they must be home. However, having applied unavailingly at a third door, which led into a utility room, and a fourth, the door to the kitchen, she rejoined her father, who said, "Maybe they're asleep." "But that's impossible. Can you imagine Mr. Clutter missing church? Just to sleep?" "Come on, then. We'll drive down to the teacherage. Susan ought to know what's happened." The teacherage, which stands opposite the up-to-date school, is an out-of-date edifice, drab and poignant. Its 20-odd rooms are separated into grace-and-favor apartments for those members of the faculty unable to find or afford other quarters. Nevertheless, Susan Kidwell and her mother had managed to sugar the pill and install a cozy atmosphere in their apartment. Three rooms on the ground floor. The very small living room incredibly contained, aside from things to sit on, an organ, a piano, a garden of flowering flower pots, and usually a darting little dog and a large, drowsy cat. Susan, on this Sunday morning, stood at the window of this room watching the street. She is a tall, languid young lady with a pallid, oval face and beautiful, pale blue-gray eyes. Her hands are extraordinary. Long-fingered, flexible, nervously elegant. She was dressed for church and expected momentarily to see the Clutter's Chevrolet, for she, too, always attended services chaperoned by the Clutter family. Instead, the Ewalts arrived to tell their peculiar tale.